There's the school bell. Grab your satchel and make it to your chair and pull up your chair and turn up your radio and get out your Bible. We're going to have a Bible study here, and so you can be a student in this radio Bible school. If you don't have a Bible handy, I'll be reading from the scriptures, and maybe you can just use your mind as you follow along. This time, in this Bible school, we're going to have our special feature, and we always open the week up this way, and they are going to read from the Rockcliffe Review. The Rockcliffe Review is the bulletin we pass out to those who gather together to worship at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe on Sunday morning, and in that I usually write an article having something to do with the sermon that I am to preach that morning. And in this bulletin, I have an article that is titled, Jesus is the Christ, a Biblical Apologetic. Let me read this to you. In 1928, Robert Owen came from England to America and proposed a new social order void of religion. He challenged America's religious leaders to debate on the value of religion. Alexander Campbell accepted his offer. Owen based his new social order and his opposition to religion on what he called 12 fundamental laws of human nature. Campbell pressed Owen to show how his 12 laws addressed the propositions for the debate, and Owen was unable to do so. The debate began to be bogged down. So Owen offered Alexander Campbell all the time he wanted to defend the Christian religion, and said he would then follow with a reply. Alexander Campbell rose from his chair and spoke in defense of Christianity for 12 hours. It was not all at one sitting. He spoke for 2 hours, twice a day, for 3 days. Campbell's speech remains one of the greatest offenses of Christianity in history. As it was in England in the early 1800s, even so more so in America today, we are living in a culture of skepticism. The number of those who claim to have no religion is at a historic high, and Christianity is either dismissed, ignored, or attacked as abetting the causes of our social woes. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Many, both before and after Alexander Campbell, have demonstrated that the evidence for the surety of the foundation of Christianity is reasonable and rational. Knowing how to defend the faith can both strengthen our faith and enable us to answer and persuade skeptics. There are a number of ways this defense can be approached, but I'm convinced that the best way is the old Bible way. Well, I've heard it said that you cannot convince an unbeliever with the Bible. I suggest that those who say such things have forgotten that 4 books of the Bible are written to unbelievers, and that they are written to give unbelievers reasons to believe. I refer to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These 4 men who have seen and investigated the evidence, and they came away as believers. They're telling us why they believe, and they are doing so that we may believe also. Hear John in John 20:31. "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Hear Luke in Luke 1:3-4. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Notice what Luke said. Not just that Theophilus may know, but know the certainty. Here again in Acts 1 in verse 3, where writing of Jesus, Luke said, "He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs being seen of them. Note how he said infallible proofs. We might say irrefutable evidence. Note also the nature of that evidence. These proofs were seen of many witnesses who testified of the things they had seen and heard. Hear John in John 1, 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. These men were credible witnesses. Matthew was one of his disciples. He had left his work as a tax collector to follow Jesus. He himself was a witness of many of the things of which he wrote. Mark was a young man at the time of Jesus. He too may have witnessed some of the things of which he wrote, and he knew those who had witnessed them. Dr. Luke was the outsider. He came later and made his own investigation, and he was convinced of the certainty of what he heard. John was the old apostle. He too had been with Jesus. He wrote to a generation that had already heard the things recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He is writing to assure and reassure his readers of the truth of what they had heard. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John should be read as books of evidence for the faith that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. Walter Scott was a preacher contemporary with Alexander Campbell. In 1833, Scott wrote of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, "These form the groundwork of our faith in Christianity. It is by these divine narratives that the Christian religion is to spread, because by them alone the world can be assured that Jesus is the Messiah. If any man would work faith in his audience, let him give his days and nights and weeks and years to the study of the evangelist." Now that was the article in the bulletin for that Sunday. And we read from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we do in this Bible school is go back and study old Sunday school lessons. We're currently looking at a Sunday school lesson titled Christ Before Pilate. It was put together, these notes for this Sunday school lesson was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 1st, 1925. And the text for this Sunday school lesson is Matthew 27, 11 through 31. Let me read to you that text. "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said unto them, Hearest not how many things they witness against thee? And he gave him no answer, not even to one word, inasmuch as the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast of the governor was wont to release unto the multitude one prisoner whom they would. And they then had a notable prisoner called Barabbas, When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But the governor answered and said unto them, Which of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all say, Let him be crucified. And he said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out exceedingly, saying, Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather that a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man, see ye to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he unto them Barabbas, but Jesus he scourged and delivered to be crucified. Then the soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered unto him the whole band. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and they platted a crown of thorns upon his head and a reed on his right hand. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spat upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took off his robe and put on him his garments and led him away to crucify him. Well, that's the text we're going to be studying in the next few days. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is found in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The devotional reading is Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek Jehovah, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye were digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For when he was but one, I called him, and I blessed him, and made him a many. For Jehovah hath comforted Zion. He hath comforted all her waste places, and he hath made her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of Jehovah. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. Attend unto me, O my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall go forth from me, and I will establish my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the peoples. The isles shall wait for me, and on my arm shall they trust. In the Helps and Hints for the Teacher, E.A. Elam wrote of the threefold trial before the Jews. He underwent a threefold trial. First, a preliminary trial before Annas. Second, before Caiaphas, the high priest, and the number of the Sanhedrin, hurriedly collected for this purpose. And then the two trials were in the night. The third trial in the morning after daylight, because they could not condemn a man to death in the night. This is the third trial, was before the Sanhedrin proper. And we are going to read all the scripture references and get all the facts of this trial fixed in our mind. In our next class, we'll look at the threefold trial of Jesus before the Jews. And that will be followed by a threefold trial before the Romans.